Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We pray, God answers. Is that always true? Is it always true that when a Christian prays, God always answers? We've been hearing a lot, especially in church. I think just this last Sunday, the gospel reading had something of that, where Jesus is assuring his disciples before he goes into suffering that they can pray in his name, that whatever you ask, God will do. And that sounds like a blank check. And then I pray, and there's apparent silence. I ask, and there doesn't seem to be any answer. What is a Christian to do with prayers that seem to be unanswered? Mark Pearson joins us on this Monday afternoon, May the 7th. He has a Master's of Divinity degree from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's pursuing a PhD in New Testament studies, and he's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, "No is a Good Thing." Mark, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks.
We hear a lot lately in the scripture readings in the Divine Service, Jesus promising an answer to prayers. He says, whatever you ask, the Father will do for you. So how do you explain the fact that so many of our prayers apparently go unanswered?
Well, I think what's important to note is that he says, whatever you ask for in my name. And so I think it should be hashed out. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? First of all, it means you pray as a Christian. God will always hear a Christian's prayers because he's hearing them through his son, Jesus Christ. God does not hear the prayers of non-Christians. So right there you have two camps, the people whom God hears because of Jesus and everybody else. Now, to pray in the name of Jesus, though, when we pray as Christians, obviously in and of ourselves, we're sinners and our prayers are going to be imperfect. But when we pray through Jesus, God accepts our prayers as though they were prayed by his own son. And so we might ask for something and not get it and say, well, what's up with that, God? You told me to pray in your name. I don't see any results. That actually turns God into a bigger version of Santa Claus, where you're just kind of on his lap listing off all the things that you want for Christmas. But when you pray in the name of Jesus, we know that God answers all our prayers. Sometimes, though, he says no, and we might not like that. But we know that he is good and gracious, and his no is always going to be for our benefit.
Now, you highlight something early in your article that I think we often say, but you kind of take the veil away. When we or someone else, usually within the Christian circle, says, my prayers were answered, what that really means often is you say, well, I asked for something, and then God did it just as I asked. We don't often say my prayers were answered when we ask and nothing happens.
No, I think that shows how simple we are. We're really happy when God is our lucky rabbit's foot and we got something out of our prayer. And then when we don't, we think that God is sleeping or he's mad at us or something like that, which is completely opposite of how Scripture talks about prayer. I actually remember one of my friends, a Lutheran actually, but telling me that when he prays, he just tells God what he wants. You know, I want this and I want that. And then sometimes he gets it and sometimes he doesn't. I always thought that was an odd way to approach prayer. But to go back to when you talked about praying in Jesus' name, what is Jesus' name? I think a lot of Christians know, but it's the Lord saves, or Yahweh saves. And so we might not always get what we want, because what we want as sinners is not going to be in accord with God's will. But we will always get what we need from God as Christians. And there a lot of people will think, oh, we're going to get our daily bread, we're going to have shelter. Well, perhaps, I mean, probably. But remember, to pray in Jesus' name is primarily going to have to do with praying about salvation. God will never turn any prayers away when someone is asking for mercy in Christ Jesus.
So outside the revealed will of God, you're talking about something that is squarely in the center of God's revealed will, to forgive sins of the repentant and to give mercy and help in times of trouble. But outside that revealed will, it sounds like that what sounded at first like a blank check isn't a blank check. It's in fact instruction on how to pray.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you see this in when the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray," they don't know what to say. It's kind of hard to know what to ask for, and we might think it's so easy because there's so many things we want. But once you realize your utter helplessness before God, you start to realize that even something like daily bread is not as important as eternal salvation. And what we're told in Scripture is actually very little. And there's that line in John where he says, "I could have written down everything Jesus did, but we'd run out of room in the whole world. These things are written so that you may believe he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." What we're revealed, what is revealed to us by God has to do with our salvation. And so when we pray, primarily we should be asking for what we know we need because God has revealed it to us, not simply whatever we want at any given time.
I want your thoughts on something, and this, I'd never thought about it before, and it was either in a sermon review or perhaps an interview with a regular guest, Pastor David Peterson from Redeemer there in Fort Wayne. And he said that too often we confine our prayers as Christians to the realm of what we consider possible. And his advice was, Christians need to start praying for things that are truly impossible. Not just things we think are impossible, but are truly impossible. We should not limit what we ask of God to things that we think God can do or might want to do. But we need to be bold in those prayers and be ready for the answer that he gives. Your thoughts?
Well, I know Pastor Peterson, and I'm sure he doesn't just mean, again, to treat God like he's given you a blank check. You know, I think if you look at what happens in the New Testament with the ministry of Jesus and with the apostles, things happen that no one would have ever expected. And then you have smaller things, and I say smaller only in that it affects one person, but Mary, when she's told she's going to be pregnant, says, "How can this be?" And there's a line in there in Luke that says, "Nothing is impossible with God." And I think that's what Pastor Peterson means, is that when it comes to the spreading of the gospel, people coming to faith through the word and sacraments, God can do anything. Look at what he's already done.
So when God says no, well, first of all, let's back up. Can we ever be sure God has said no, finally, to a prayer?
Yeah, I think so, because I think if we're asking for things that are not in accord with God's will and they don't come to pass, then that's pretty obvious. You might say that's similar to a false prophet in the Old Testament. If things don't turn out, then, well, you kind of get your answer. I always find that Christians like the idea of God has three answers: yes, no, and not yet. And they cling to that not yet with everything in them. But again, what are you asking about, or what are you asking for? You know, a lot of young Christians might really, really ask that they get accepted to a certain college or that they find the right spouse. Again, these are things that have not been revealed to us. We don't know that God is going to give us this particular scholarship or that particular spouse. We do know that we are sinners who need salvation. We do know we're to pray and ask for those things. We're to ask that God would forgive our trespasses, along with the other things in the Lord's Prayer. But it's, again, not simply pray for whatever you want. Maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. And if you don't get it, that means no. Why that can be true to an extent, we really need to focus on what God has revealed to us in his word, as you've said.
Are you saying, then, that often we, and the examples you cite in the article of Elijah wanting to die, Moses wanting to be replaced, things like that, that they pray earnestly for, even Paul asking for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, that we often... in our doubt and unbelief, pray that God remove the very crosses he does want us to have in our lives?
Yes, I think so. I don't think it's wrong to ask God to remove pain and suffering from us, even if he's put those there for a particular reason, or even if they're there and we're not really sure why they're there. Our God is a God of mercy and a God of grace, and so I don't think it would be presumptuous at all for us to ask that God would remove these obstacles in our lives. He loves us. He will love us forever. He will love us no matter what happens. And so to think that we're doing something wrong by asking God to remove something, that's really a wrong view of God. That's kind of thinking like Job's friends did, that, oh, I'm going through this because I'm suffering for something I did. That's not how the Bible talks.
Well, speaking of Job, God never really answers the big question that everyone seems to be obsessed with through the entire that entire book, which is why. When God tells us no, does he explain himself?
Not always, and that's a good point you bring up. Job is what's called wisdom literature in the Old Testament, as you know. And Job is wise, but he also asks a question based not on knowledge, and that's what God says. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words not based on knowledge? And so God actually doesn't give him the reason. He doesn't say, here's why these things have happened to you. He essentially says, well, I'm God, and you know my character, so trust me. Now, thankfully, as Christians, we have more revealed to us than just that. We see exactly why it is we can trust in God. And you have that in Job, too, where he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he will stand upon the earth. So Job doesn't know why these horrible things have happened to him. He gets really bad advice from his friends, and then God says, I'm not going to tell you why. You have to trust in me. But Job believes the promises that no matter what is going on, in the end, he will be resurrected. And then we get more of that filled in, say, like in Revelation, where God says there will be a time where there is no mourning or death or crying or pain, for all these former things have gone away.
With only a minute, is the same true for us, not just for Job?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's partly why Jesus tells us to pray as he does. You find that forgive us our trespasses is there. It doesn't really matter. I mean, this. I don't mean to sound crass here, but it doesn't matter if you lose your job. It doesn't matter if you know your girlfriend breaks up with you. It doesn't matter even if you get cancer. And I don't mean that in a slight way or anything. What I mean is that in the end, everything will be made right by God. And this reality that we're suffering through now will fade away sort of like a dream or something because our God has conquered all these things on our behalf. He is conquered death. He has taken away cancer. He will give us an eternal family in heaven.
Mark Pearson is our guest. We're talking about unanswered prayers. We'll continue for another 10 minutes after this break. What can lay people do to help support pastors and other professional church workers? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers. You can purchase this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Holding Up the Prophet's Hand costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Holding Up the Prophet's Hand at issuesetc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
They Were Afraid, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
For to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, an empty tomb, is not good news, not for sinners, apart from his death for sinners.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
The Easter hymn, O Sons and Daughters of the King, sung by the choir of Bath Abbey, It's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. That's there 24/7 for you all through the Easter season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. That and hundreds of other Easter hymns. Sacred music for the world for the 50 days of Easter, 24/7 at LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking about unanswered prayers. Mark Pearson is our guest, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, No is a Good Thing. Does part of the problem stem from our lack of patience? We assume a no when, in fact, it's just a, well, in my good time answer.
That could be it. I think this is where Pastor Peterson's answer is important. That it might be a not yet sort of answer, but I think we also need to trust that God is going to work all things to the good of those who love him, as we're promised. So if something doesn't work out immediately before us, or if it doesn't work out for a few years, we should never give up, because we do have the God of miracles on our side. He has promised to always, always make sure that he'll protect us and care for all our needs.
We want an immediate solution, though. We want the instant answer. If I email someone and they make me wait 24 hours, I feel like they've been a little rude to me, even though I'm terrible at answering email. And this, perhaps the same mentality is at work with God. I mean, it would strike me that if God is God, he works on a longer timetable than my patience would normally dictate.
Yes. Actually, I'm just rereading the Narnia books, and there's a line in there where Aslan says something about you'll see him again soon. And then he's asked by Lucy, when is soon? And he says, I call all time soon. So God's obviously working on a very different timetable than we are. Maybe if your friend doesn't email you in 24 hours, I may even say for you, Todd, that's a bit much to get upset. But we do live in a culture where we need immediate responses. We live in the information world. We're always on the Internet. And we think, well, God didn't answer my prayer, so therefore, what does that mean? What have I done wrong? Or what kind of a God is this? But again, you know, what sort of God do we have? And I want to take this chance to go back to the question you asked before the break. Is that true for us as well as Job? I think the role of Jesus in prayer is something that we really need to emphasize. I was talking with a friend last week, and I was asked, why do they pray to Mary, or why do they pray to the saints? And I said, first of all, well, they won't say they pray. They don't like to use the word pray to talk to Mary and the saints. But nonetheless, it's essentially because they think that Mary and the saints are not as scary as God. I mean, God is holy and righteous, and we're not, and Jesus is God. So we're not really going to talk to him, but Jesus' mom is not that scary. Mary was a human, just like us, and of all people whom Jesus would listen to, certainly he would listen to his mother. So if you ask the mother of God to pray for you, she'll deliver your request to God on your behalf. Well, that's the whole point of Jesus. I mean, what I just said about Mary is nowhere in the Bible, of course. Jesus is our one mediator, the one person who can make intercession between a holy God and a sinful humanity. The one who is both God and man. He takes our prayers to the Father, just as he took Mary's and the saints to the Father. Now, I say that because this is one of the many things that make Christianity unique among the religions of the world. We don't have a God like the Muslims, where Allah is utterly transcendent and unknowable and cannot identify with humans at all. And we don't have a God like the Hindus, which is more like an impersonal force, like in Star Wars. No, the Christian God is a person. He became a human himself and has experienced everything we go through. He was tired. He was hungry. He experienced sadness when his friend died. He got angry at the injustice he witnessed, and on and on. He was made like us in every way except without sin. But then on the cross, God made him sin. So vicariously, in our place, he has even experienced our regrets and our guilt and our shame. So when we pray, and when Job prayed, we know that our God not only hears us, but he can sympathize with us because he's experienced everything we have. And so even though I know that God is all-knowing, I think he probably chooses to hear our prayers through human ears. So we know that God will hear everything that we ask, not only because he's all-knowing, and not even only because he promises to hear everyone through Jesus, but because Jesus himself sympathizes with us because he's experienced everything we have experienced. No other religion can make a claim like that, only Christianity.
Well, I think you're quite right. I mean, if we take the incarnation and Christ's ascension, his exercise now of every divine prerogative in both natures, both divine and human, seriously, then I think we have to say that that God is hearing your prayer with the human ears of Jesus himself.
Yes, and that's really comforting. I mean, it's one thing to think, okay, I'm a sinner and I'm going to try to talk to God. What in the world am I, what am I doing even contemplating something like that? But when I consider that, okay, but my God is Jesus Christ. My God is the one who became flesh and blood. My God is the one who suffered and died, and he promises to hear me. Well, that gives me a lot of comfort, and that takes away a lot of the fear one might have in thinking I'm going to approach God in all his holiness. Well, yes, but also in all his mercy and grace in Jesus Christ.
I want to clarify something you said before the break, and you were talking about, and you were kind of struggling with the word, saying, well, you know, it doesn't really matter if you have cancer, it doesn't really matter if this and that. And I understand I've struggled with exactly the same way of saying it. Could another way of framing that, could it be, does it matter that you have cancer ultimately? And the answer is, well, yes, it matters so much to God that at times he will answer that prayer in the very best possible way, in the resurrection of all flesh and the restoration of all things.
I think that's a much better way to say it, and I'm glad you could see I was struggling. One of my mentors had mentioned to me, well, you don't want to say cancer in a sermon because probably a third, if not a half, of the people sitting in your pew have been personally affected by cancer. And I wrestled with, well, but yeah, this is a real thing. This is a result of sin, and it's what God came to deal with. But I think the way you say it is much better than I was trying to say it.
What do you say to someone listening to us now who says, and we hear this so often, you know, I'm just exasperated, Pastor. I prayed with all my heart. I asked in Jesus' name, and nothing happened. What do you say?
With all your heart, asking in Jesus' name, I would say that God does answer your prayers. God always answers your prayers. Again, as painful as it might be to go through whatever you're going through, God has had mercy on you through his Son, Jesus Christ. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You might not always understand why you're going through what you're going through, but you can always know that God will bring you home to him, forgiving all your sins.
Can we, finally, with only about 30 seconds here, can we regard God's no's in response to our prayers as born of the same fatherly love and mercy as his yeses?
Oh, absolutely. And I think anyone who has kids would know this. I don't have kids myself, but I have a niece and nephew, and they ask me for things all the time, and I tell them no because it's for their own good. And they might not like it, but they have a very limited perspective. I think that's a fairly accurate analogy to how we ask God for things all the time, thinking we know what's best when in fact we don't. And I don't mean that just, you know, we're selfish, which we are, but we're selfish, and so we want these things to be done, and God won't do them. But, I mean, very real things, as in, you know, my friend didn't get cured of cancer, and he died. Well, why did God let that happen? But again, remembering, as you said, the resurrection is the promise. Paul tells us those who die in Christ are not really dead, they're only sleeping. So we have a very different perspective, just the other side of Christ's resurrection, than all the non-Christians in the world.
So with only about 1 minute here, when a Christian prays and he says, I want to pray the way that Jesus would instruct me to pray, where I can be assured that God hears and answers, what would be your advice to them?
Well, first I would say you can always be assured that God hears and answers because you've been baptized into Christ. So granted, we're sinners, and when you think about, you know, our prayers as sinners, well, we always are going to screw up our prayers. We can't pray perfectly. We're going to zone out. We might even fall asleep in the middle of our prayers. We might just fail to pray. But we don't have to worry that God is angry at us for it or that he'll punish us for it. Jesus' perfect obedience in all things is reckoned unto us. He has taken all our sins onto himself, and that includes our imperfect prayers. And this is truly comforting news. It allows us to pray freely without fear. I mean, it can be paralyzing to think that you would talk to God and that with every act of your prayer, you're actually heaping wrath upon yourself because you're never praying perfectly. But that's not the situation for Christians. We start from the position of being forgiven. We have already been made children of God. And so that's why, as Luther says, we can boldly and confidently pray to God, asking him as dear children ask their dear father.
Mark Pearson has a Master of Divinity degree from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's pursuing his Ph.D. in New Testament studies. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, "No is a Good Thing." Thanks for being our guest, Mark.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series on family vocation, talking with Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby about the vocations of childhood. A little bit of growing, learning, honor your father and mother tomorrow on Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers, kind of goes with what we've been talking about here. We pray not only for ourselves, but for our neighbor, and one neighbor that you should always be praying for is your pastor. It's one of the ways that you hold up his hands, by imploring God to protect him, to embolden him, to give him courage, to give him strength for the task that God has laid upon him in his call to serve you with the word and sacraments. Find out more about this book, Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for the May, Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, issuesetc.org. You'll find it on every page of our website. We pray boldly because we are being heard and answered. And we know all the answers ultimately come to a yes. Even the no's, God's good yes, delivered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.